Hi everyone, today I'm really excited to be speaking with Robbie Kukkers, the creator of EnglishHarmony.com, a great English course for anyone wanting to improve their English ability. So hi Robbie, thanks for speaking with us today.
Hi Nate, how are you doing?
Doing very well, thank you. Yeah, how about you?
No problem at all. I'm great. Looking forward to the interview, and let's get cracking.
Okay, let's get cracking, great. So first of all, where are you today?
I live in Ireland.
In Ireland, okay.
So it's early morning in Ireland now.
Right. Sorry about that.
No problem. I'm used to getting up early.
Good.
Because that's what doing business online is all about, you know. I have a 9-to-5 job, and I spend all my free time on running the website, responding to my customers' emails, queries, and all that sort of thing. So I get up early, go to bed early. Late.
Sounds very familiar. So, okay, and when did you go to Ireland?
It was nearly 10 years ago. It's going to be 10 years in August this year. And initially I came over to make some quick buck, and then I just fell in love with the country.
Okay.
Brought my family over.
Oh, wow.
Settled down here.
Great.
The rest, as they say, is history.
Okay, yeah, it sounds like what happened to me in Japan. Well, I guess first, let's take things back to the young Robbie years, the years that you weren't a fluent English speaker living in Ireland. How old were you when you first started learning English, and what are some of the memories you have about that early experience?
I started learning English when I was around the age of 10.
Okay.
I was a young kid, and I was very fascinated with anything that had to do with America. American movies, cartoons, and I basically devoured any bit of information that I could get my hands on. Okay. Tourist guides, electronic device manuals, and I translated them all in my little notebooks.
Yeah.
And all those first experiences basically involved translating, you know, translation job.
Okay, and what language were you translating from?
And from Latvian.
Okay.
I'm a Latvian by nationality, so.
Okay. And what were some of those movies and cartoons?
Disney cartoons, Tom and Jerry.
Uh-huh.
Some very first action movies that came out with Chuck Norris or Bruce Lee.
Right.
Basically okay. Martial arts movies. And
okay, cool.
I would translate movie titles and everything.
Okay.
Every single English word that I could see and write down, I would translate it all.
Wow, you must have had big stacks of notebooks, huh?
Yes, I did, and it formed the foundation of my English knowledge, but at the same time, it formed what I understand from today's standpoint, it formed wrong associations in my mind, because everything that had to do with the English language, I was doing it through my native language, which is wrong.
Okay.
Because it doesn't facilitate thinking in English at all. Because you think in your language, and then you kind of translate it all into English or the other way around. And it's not the best way to do it, basically.
Right, yeah. So you think it's better to try to get to a point where you're automatically thinking in English?
Yes, exactly.
Mm, okay.
And that's what I would have done.
Right,
If I knew everything that I know now.
Right. I guess that's a really difficult place to start, though. I mean, how would you start?
I would imagine that from the very start, of course, you would need to translate the basic concepts. But I believe that a student can get to a stage where he can eliminate his native language pretty fast. Once you've grasped the basics of the language, basic vocabulary, There's a way of explaining everything in simpler words. So when you learn new concepts, new vocabulary words, I believe that anything can be explained in very simple language that you're already familiar with.
That's right, yeah.
So that there's no need to get your native language involved anymore from that point on.
Right. And I think I discovered the same thing with Japanese at some point. You know, just getting to that level where I wasn't trying to translate, but I was just saying the Japanese that I knew, and it might have been really simple, but yeah, it was better because it kept me trying to speak.
Yes, exactly. And it builds on your existing vocabulary, and over time, you just and ends up being able to speak using more sophisticated language. And for me, it's easy to say now because I've never learned the English language that way. You know, I basically rebuilt my knowledge by plenty of spoken English practice, and then I realized that it's essential to think English only. But having read plenty of articles online and being in touch with plenty of other English learners and English teachers, I found out that it's a very viable way of going about the English language learning, that it is possible
Yeah, I
to
think so.
learn language without translating into your native language and from your native language.
Right. Okay. So that should be a goal that anyone learning English should try to get to as quickly as possible.
Yes, I
Okay.
believe so.
Okay, so obviously it took you a while to realize all of that. So
Yes, it did. Long years.
Were you already living in Ireland when you started having
Yes.
those thoughts?
I was living in Ireland. I had been living in this country for about 3 or 4 or 5 years before I realized the fallacy of the approach of the traditional grammar translation approach of learning the English language, because I kept going through long vocabulary lists, hammering them into my brain, and it was all through my native language. I would have the English words and the Latvian descriptions, and I would memorize them all, and I was dedicating a lot of time to learning advanced English grammar. And even after a few years, I still couldn't figure out why I couldn't speak properly. I couldn't speak fluently. I was still running into those fluency issues where I would get stuck in the middle of a conversation. I wasn't able to formulate my thoughts properly because my native language would keep interfering with English in my head all the time. And the funny thing is that, say for instance, those vocabulary lists, I could remember where certain words were in my notebooks, on which pages. I knew the exact meanings. I knew like 3, 4, 5 synonyms for the same word, but I found it very difficult to use that vocabulary in real life conversations. And then I came to a point after long hours of self practicing. I basically used to work in a warehouse back then, right? And I used to spend long hours speaking with myself because I would be on my own. And I got into this habit of voicing my thoughts out loud. And after a while, I realized I could speak fluently. But I would still have those fluency issues every now and then when speaking with real people. But my fluency kind of opened up after all those long hours of self-practice. And then I realized that it's all about speaking. It's not about textbook-based studies that would get my fluency going. It's all about practicing. And then I was doing a lot of research about English learning online, and then I read somewhere that it's all about efficiency, all about most commonly used phrases and expressions that would help you to get to the fluency much faster. It all kind of came together, and I realized, hold on, if you take the most commonly used vocabulary, expressions, phrasal verbs, collocations, these are the terms that I learned later on, but if you repeat them, memorize them purposefully, then it would certainly help you to speak automatically without much thinking. So those concepts came together with the self-practicing concept, and that's how the idea of the English Harmony System was born.
So here you were in a warehouse, so you were working basically by yourself, so you just started talking to yourself in English. Did you ever feel like you were a little crazy? What did you think? What am I doing?
I still feel like that. It's a second nature for me now. Because I still do it all the time when I'm on my own. You know, right. It just helps me to immerse myself into the English language.
Right. Well, I think it's a great idea. I think it's excellent. But I also think that it's not a normal thing to do. I wonder how many listeners are wondering, I wonder if I can really do that. What would I say? And how do you talk to yourself?
Well, for many, it might sound very strange, but the thing is that you don't actually have to speak out loud. You don't have to go out in public and start having a chat with yourself, and it will look really weird indeed. It can be no more than an inner chat with yourself. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between just thinking, where you allow abstract thoughts just to pop up in your mind and float in your mind, and a purposeful mental conversation.
Right.
And that's all that it takes to have that self-practice. Okay. All you have to do is barely move your lips, probably, to help you form words, you know.
Right.
So it can be nothing more than that, just an inner chat, but it will still be a great help for English fluency improvement, you know.
Yeah, okay. And so it could be, I mean, this doesn't have to be a conversation with yourself. It can just be...
No, it doesn't.
You can just be talking about what's going on or what you're thinking or doing.
Yes.
You know, if I'm washing the dishes, you're like, okay.
Yes, narrating your actions.
Yeah, I'm going to grab the soap with my right hand or something like that.
Yes. Let all that vocabulary just soak in.
Yeah.
Associate all those words with your actions.
Right.
And it doesn't require that much time. 15, 20 minutes a day is completely sufficient time.
Okay. Well, that's great. That's interesting. Basically, that's what you wish you could have been doing from the beginning.
Definitely, I would have engaged and I would have communicated with other people, of course, much more than I used to.
Yeah.
I would have embraced every opportunity to go out with English speaking people. But then I worked back then in the warehouse. We worked in a close circle of people. There were only Latvians, Russians, and some Romanians. So there weren't really many opportunities for me to practice English with real people in real life, you know.
Right. Which, you know, it kind of brings me to another point. Everyone always thinks they need to go live in an English-speaking country to get a higher fluency. Do you think that's true? I mean, do you think if you would have stayed in Latvia, if you would have been continuing your own self-practicing techniques, do you think you still would have gotten to a high fluency level?
Probably not. Because when I still lived in my country, I wouldn't practice English with myself. It only started when I came over to Ireland.
Right.
But having said this, it doesn't mean that one cannot achieve a high level of fluency living in their own countries.
Right.
If they purposefully engage in all this self-practice that we've been discussing.
Right. It just takes more effort, you think.
Yes, it definitely takes more effort, because real communication with real people definitely comes into the equation, you know. Your fluency wouldn't probably be that highly developed, you know what I mean? You'd still need to, say for instance, you lived in your country, you'd get to some level, but if you move to an English-speaking country, speaking with real people in real life is a bit more... It's still a bit different, you know, so it would take you some time to get into the feel of what it feels like to speak with real people. But in this day and age, I don't think it's a big problem to find some opportunities to practice with others, even if you live in other countries, because English is the, what do you call it, lingua franca of the mother.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, technology is definitely made it much easier to find someone to practice with. So, yeah, you've just got to plan and make a concerted effort to have structure and to utilize the technology that you have around you as well. So, with all of that, I mean, we've got the technology, but schools are still teaching in the same way, right? I mean, why are learners still struggling to speak English so much?
Well, the main reason is because the traditional studies are all paper-based and textbook-based.
Right.
And this approach has been there for hundreds of years, and it's going to probably take another 100 years to change people's mindsets, because it's one of those conventional wisdoms, you know.
Right.
When you learn a language, you take a book, you take a notepad, and you start writing and learning vocabulary, and there's very, very little spoken practice involved.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
another reason is that a student feels very comfortable when writing. You can create a well-written piece of an English text, for instance. You can go back, correct your sentences, and it's a safe ground, so to speak. There are rules. You can always fall back to your grammar knowledge, and you can organize the words around. But when you speak, it's all improvising. There are no rules. You
That's
don't
right.
feel safe, you know. And many people fear of making mistakes. It's actually the biggest fear that any foreigner has, because I've been getting hundreds of emails. Robbie, how can I stop being afraid of making mistakes when I speak English? And then
Right,
it's
right.
then the first piece of advice I always give is just stop worrying about them. Embrace mistakes. It'll happen to you regardless of whether you worry about them or not. So making mistakes is a natural thing. That's how you learn. And
Exactly, yeah.
yes, this is one of the, so what was the original question? Sorry.
Why people are
Why?
still struggling with speaking English so much. I mean, they've got the reading and they've got the writing, but speaking is what everyone is always asking me, which is why I'm doing this series.
It's not focused upon so much
Yeah.
as it should be, you know. And it's, I suppose, in English language classes and at school, it's difficult for teachers, because there's only one teacher on 30 students, for
Right,
instance,
yeah.
right? So how do you check every single student's speech? It's
Yeah, it's
nearly
impossible,
impossible.
yeah.
So the best way of testing students' knowledge is to make them write tests, and then you check those tests and evaluate their knowledge based on what they can write.
Right, yeah.
And so it's a very practical approach, but it's not the most efficient when it comes to making those students be fluent in the language.
Exactly.
So I would imagine that there's a massive overhaul needed in the
Right.
way that language learning is approached by schools and academic institutions. There's a
Yes.
shift needed from the purely academic approach to a more social approach. English
Exactly.
should be taught as a communication rather than
Right. Right.
knowledge that can be learned, acquired from books, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah, language is a tool of communication, right? That's the whole reason
It's a
it
very
exists.
practical. Yes, it's a very practical skill. It's a skill
Right.
set. It's not just knowledge that you can acquire and then produce it at your will. You know, I think it rather falls into the same category as physical education, for instance, or
Right.
arts, rather than subjects like physics or maths, you know.
Right. There's two parts. I mean, if someone's really interested in the way English as a language works, then they should, study the linguistic side of it. But yeah, I mean, for
Well, of course, of course. For the
anyone who's
average
wanting,
student.
right, it's something that they need to experience.
Yes. And I remember my own high school studies. The teacher was very good, but it was 100% textbook based. There was probably a couple of sentences that I had to speak during those classes throughout those 3 or 4 years, you know. It was all purely textbook based. We learned a lot of grammar, but when it comes to communication skills, there was very little that we learned, you know.
Okay, so based on those traditional techniques that people are learning in schools, how can they get out of that? And what are some actionable things that anyone out there listening now can start doing today to start improving their spoken English?
All right, so the first thing is to engage in as much spoken practice as you possibly can with other people, and then it goes back to the same self-practicing. And one should try to wrap up everything, every English content that they hear or read or watch. They should wrap it up by summarizing it as a narration. So, say for instance, you watch a film or you read a book or you read a chapter from a book, right? Have a 3, 4, 5 minute conversation. Well, it's not really a conversation, it's just verbalize all that content. It's essential to train your mouth,
To get it moving and
to produce the sounds, you know. Because one thing is the passive vocabulary, one that you recognize. That soaks into your brain, that you hear, it's your comprehension, but your active vocabulary is quite a different thing, you know. They those two things don't equate. They're not the same.
Like
You
you already
may.
said, you had, notbooks full of vocabulary and you could remember where they were on the page, but when it came
Yes,
time to
yes.
speak it, you couldn't recall them.
Yes. And only by conscious effort, you can transfer that passive vocabulary into your active vocabulary so that you can use it all in conversations. And of course, it's not going to be 100%. Anyone, even I believe that even native speakers can comprehend a whole lot more than they can actually say. You can't actually repeat everything you hear in the same exact way. It's not just possible. But I think it's essential that the number one thing I would suggest for everyone, for any English learner to do, is that after anything they hear or read, just try to recall a few words that you just read or heard and try to repeat them in the same combination. It goes back to the collocations, phrases. One should probably say, for instance, you listen to something, then you jot down a few phrases that you hear that you think might come in handy for you, then when summarizing it in your own words, then use those key phrases as the main points to wrap the text around, you know.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And it's also essential to forget about the concept of mistakes, what we already discussed. When you speak, just accept the fact that you're going to make those mistakes. And it's not to say that you have to ignore them and not try to correct them. You will instinctively feel when you said something wrong, when you made a mistake, but you don't have to freak out over that. Just have to accept it. You think to yourself, oh, hold on, I just made a mistake. And then next time, when it comes to saying the same thing, you would probably correct yourself even before you speak out loud. But then again, it's essential not to start analyzing your speech too much. Don't try to approach your speech as if it were a piece of writing, you know. Because I found personally that when you start analyzing your speech too much, you'll eventually find it very difficult to speak. You'll start stuttering and you'll have English words floating and clashing together in your mind, because you'll try to come up with the perfect way of saying certain things.
I
And
see.
say, for instance, now when I'll be listening to the interview we're having at the moment, I would definitely think of 100 other ways I could have said certain things. But in real life, nothing is perfect, so you have to just spit it out, say whatever crosses your mind first, and on 99% of occasions, it's going to be the right thing, and just ignore 1%, which is wrong.
Well, I think that's the reason, it's one of the things that people hate about recording their voice or watching themselves on video or, something like this, because even if it's in your native language, you wish you would have said something differently, or
Yes,
you wish you
yes.
would have done something differently. So it's that fear of your mistakes being captured and then having to relive them later, right? That scares people. So I think that there's a bit of that in learning a foreign language as well.
Yes, definitely. There's an awful lot of that,
Yeah, right.
actually. And say, for instance, when I show my friends my English Harmony videos on my YouTube channel, they often say, like, "Are you not embarrassed watching them yourself?" And I say, "No, why would I?" I suppose I've just gotten over that, over that.
Right, that fear of whatever, scares you about seeing yourself.
Yes, I just ignore that.
Right, yeah.
I suppress any embarrassment that might be even arising within myself. I just ignore it.
Right, I think ignoring is the only thing you really can do because you can't stop making mistakes 100%. Like you said, there's always going to be that 1%. And so, yeah, you've just got to ignore it and
Yes,
accept it for what it is.
it's also helpful to comfort yourself with by understanding that over time you're gonna get better and better. There's a
Right.
constant improvement. So while now you might be struggling a little bit, in a year's time you'll be speaking so much more fluently,
Right.
and there are going to be dips in your fluency.
Yeah.
And I've discussed that on my blog, on a few blog posts, that it's essential not to despair over those moments when you feel that, "Oh God, I'm not improving at all, and I keep making those mistakes, and it gets even worse." Just ride it through.
Right.
Just ignore it, and just know that it's going to get better and better. The overall improvement trend is always upward going,
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, those are all great points. Those are all really nice. You could track it, I guess. You could try to track how you're improving. You could take monthly recordings, I guess, and then compare them over the year.
Yes,
And
that would be a good thing, yes. And
nice.
personally, for me, it's quite easy because all I have to do is just go back to the first videos that I've recorded,
Oh, right. Yeah. Just go look at your YouTube channel.
or read some very old articles, and I
Yeah.
can see an instant improvement. So
Right.
while I'm advising others on different strategies and approaches how they can improve their spoken language, I still keep learning and improving myself. It's natural. It's a
Exactly.
lifetime long process,
Exactly. Yeah. It's not, it's not something that you want to stop in a year, right? I mean, that's not what language learning is, but a lot of students ask me, how can I learn English really fast? Or how can I remember it the fastest? And I sometimes just want to stop and say, well, I think the best way to do it is just accept that it is a lifelong process and enjoy that process and know that it's going to be constant improvement throughout the entire process.
Exactly. Enjoyment is probably the key word. Enjoy it instead
Yeah.
of thinking of it as a chore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just enjoy your life through the English language.
Exactly.
Enjoy your hobbies, and so it's actually something that I've been blogging about as well. It's essential for an English learner to find something to apply all that English knowledge on at a practical level
Right.
instead of just learning something boring.
Exactly.
Try to start reading, probably starting with some simpler books, simple literature. Or say, for instance, if you have a hobby, go online and find English websites
Right.
that talk about those subjects, and use English as means to an
Exactly.
end.
Yeah. That sounds a lot better than reading something that you don't want to read, just because it's the only thing you can find. Given all of your advice so far and all the things that you've learned over the years, how does this tie into English Harmony and what you've made there with the DVDs?
All right, so the English Harmony system's main objective is to make a transition from the writing mode of the student's mind. I like to call it the writing mode, because that's what the traditional studies is about. They make you very comfortable in writing, but you're not comfortable speaking. So it helps the students to get into the speaking mode by imprinting naturally occurring speech patterns into their mind, so that they can produce automatic speech. They can speak without much thinking. And there's hundreds of collocations, phrases, sentences in the English Harmony system that the students are required to repeat, memorize, and then use them in dialogues. But it's not necessarily the same exact phrases. It's not to be perceived only as acquiring those phrases and then being able to use them. But it helps the students to open up their fluency and speak without much thinking.
I'm just wondering, what is the structure like?
The structure is every there are 60 at the moment. There are 60 speech exercising lessons. I'm working on a new update on 30 more lessons, which is hopefully going to be added on to the main course later on this year, around September or so. So every lesson is structured in the repetition part, where a speaking character in the lesson speaks to you, and then you have to repeat the phrase. And every phrase is spoken three times, so you repeat every phrase three times, and then you are asked a question, or you are required to ask a question depending on how the dialogue is structured. So basically, you have to use those phrases and sentences in a conversation with the speaking character on the screen. And then there's a final dialogue going back to all the phrases learned during that one particular lesson. And every lesson is to be repeated twice, one time the previous evening and the next morning the second time. And eventually you get to a stage where you can just produce that phrase without much thinking. It just comes out of your mouth, just like that, you know. And even in real life situations, when it comes to discussing similar subjects, or having conversations about similar subjects, you would be able to produce that phrase without much thinking. It would just come out of your mouth by itself. And speaking of those speech patterns, as I said, it's not only about them phrases, because I've been asked many times, does your course contain everything that I need to know when speaking in English? Of course not. You can't encompass the whole spoken language in 60 lessons. It wouldn't be even possible to do it in 1,000 lessons, you know. But it just helps you to, it forms speech patterns in your mind. Say, for instance, let's think of an English sentence. If I had done it, I would have been more successful. The structure of the sentence is, if I had, I would have. If I had, I would have. And you can apply this same structure. You can just replace the words, and you can come up with sentences like, if I had known that the English language learning had to be approached this way, I would have been a more successful English learner. You see, you can structure the sentences based on those speech patterns, and it helps you to speak more fluently, basically. So it's not only about those certain phrases, but the variety of other phrases that you are capable of creating thereafter.
And it gets you in a pattern of practicing in that way so that you're automatically picking up things as you go along as well. Well, it sounds really
Just it,
interesting.
it just it just opens up your fluency. And there's a set of meditation lessons too in the English Harmony system. Yes, there is. For those who may feel overwhelmed and that they can't speak at all, because I've been experiencing these issues myself, that you think of yourself as as the least capable English speaker, that you think that you will never master the English language and that you're a total loser when it comes to this. Those meditation lessons would help the students to get over that,
right.
to develop confidence when it comes to speaking English, and to accept the fact that to embrace the fact that they're foreigners, not to try to sound like natives, don't try to see the foreigner part of yourself as something negative, something that has to be concealed by all means possible. Embrace it. You're
exactly.
a foreigner, but that's fine. You have the English language level. What you have is what you have, and you can only improve, and your English is fine, and you can say everything that you want to say using every even simple language. And all these concepts are built into those meditation lessons, helping the students to become more confident and accept who they are, and focus on positives rather than negatives. Focus on what you can say instead of what you can't.
Right, right.
Because there's 1,000 things you can't do, maybe 100 things you can do, but only by focusing on what you can is going to give you a foundation for further development, you know.
Exactly. That sounds great, yeah.
So all those lessons combined give a very, very good medium of improving the English language and fluency.
Right, yeah, I think so. I mean, it sounds like a great system. You've had a lot of people doing it too, right? I mean,
yes, by now I have over 400 students already.
Wow, wow.
And I've been getting some very good feedback.
Yeah.
And one student reported a considerable improvement of his fluency after only 6 lessons.
Wow, wow.
So
that's got to make you feel really happy that you've done it. That you've spent the time
exactly.
and the effort.
Receiving emails like that just makes my day, you know.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
makes it all feel worthwhile doing, you know.
Okay. And for everyone listening, yeah, there's the link for EnglishHarmony.com in the write-up with this interview. So be sure to check it out later. And your blog is all there too, so they can see everything, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Excellent. All right.
Yes,
well,
yes.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
And thanks, Nate, for interviewing me.
Okay.
It was my pleasure.